Hey, this is Austin Jenks and Donald Jenkins talking about hits collecting dust.
I know I shouldn't have told you, but I'm just...
Well, I usually have to sing this thing, so it gets weird. She's like...
Awesome. Hey, let's get started. Hey, I'm sitting here with Austin Jenks. How are you, man?
Good, brother. How you doing?
Wonderful. So excited you're in here, because now I have been told this is the first time that I have sat this close to you while you sing. And they said they were setting up the microphones for the podcast, and they're like, oh, Austin's coming in. We're all like, yeah, I'm excited. He goes, you might want to have him sit a little further back from the microphone.
And man, I actually sang in church yesterday for the first time in a long time, and it was over on Vanderbilt campus.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful old chapel, and they don't have, you can't plug in or anything like that. It's just, you know, like room mics, and they had to turn them all off.
Really?
Yeah, because I told them, I went up there and I started singing, and then I think everybody, you know, there's quite a bit of older people there.
It was, yeah.
And everybody was awake, so they're just like, ah! It was loud, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, hey, you've had a big year, right? A lot is going on, and so if you could, give me your 30-second intro to Austin Jenks. You've got a lot going on, but I don't want to give it away, so I'm going to let you do it.
Man, you know, I moved down here a few years ago and was, like, working in a warehouse and all that stuff, and then I got to be on The Voice, and Blake Shelton was my coach, and
Team Blake.
That just was huge, huge, huge jump, and... you know, being able to travel and tour and sign a publishing deal, you know, all that kind of stuff. Just being able to really realize, like, a lot of, you know, like, bucket list type dreams are like, this is what I want to be doing. And it's so, it's just kind of a crazy thing, being able to, like, hang out and write with your friends and do what you love every day. My wife and I, you know, we got married within the last year and a half, bought a house within the last 6 months here in town, and so just
no real life changing events have really gone on, right?
Yeah, we went to Europe for about a month. You know, just really been doing a lot of different stuff. And
I gotta take it one step back. You so casually just went into, got on The Voice, was on Team Blake. I'm like, whoa. You went from, I moved here, worked in a warehouse, and then got on The Voice. So. I'm sorry. I know I don't want to give the wrong impression that all you have to do, guys, is like move to Nashville, work in a warehouse, and then you get on The Voice.
No. I mean,
so how does that happen?
Man, I like, obviously, like, there's a lot of networking and that kind of thing. But for me, it, you know, it's just, I've been real blessed, and I can't say anything other than that. I mean, I just, one of my first co-writes in town ended up being the guy that I moved in with, and that was before I even moved here. And it was literally the first time I'd ever co-written a song with anybody. And it was one of my best friends in the whole world, Neil Mason. He plays drums in the Cadillac 3, and we moved in with him. My girlfriend, who's now my wife, you know, we lived there for a while, and he just, you know, helped me out a ton. Meeting people. He's from Nashville, so basically just kind of hit the ground running, man, and played a lot of songwriters nights and you know, whiskey jams, that kind of thing.
Right.
Met Corey and Kale and started hanging right with them. We did a bunch of writing retreats, and it was like Corey's 30th birthday, and we went out to I think it was Pigeon Forge or something, and had a cabin for a weekend and wrote songs. So basically, it's just been a whole lot of, like, you know, making buddies, making friends, writing songs.
Right.
When I worked in the warehouse, I was driving a forklift for like 9-10 hours a day. And honestly, I was pretty miserable. but, you know, it taught me a lot. It taught me about what my time is worth and, you know, what I want to be doing with my life and my time. And so I had auditioned for all the shows, like, growing up in high school. I did, like, American Idol and all that stuff. Nothing ever came from it. And then a friend of mine over at ASCAP, she told me, you know, there was an audition, and I went in there and it just kind of happened, man. And it was a year-long process, The Voice was. And
wow.
Going back and forth to L.A., I had to quit my job at the warehouse and get a part-time job giving scooter moped tours in town.
Yeah.
And so I drove people around and showed them all about, like, the Country Music Hall of Fame and stuff like that.
I'm sorry, but the visual of going from a forklift to a scooter.
I was about 50 pounds over the weight limit on any of them, but, you know, we train them driving around the parking lot and stuff. And it was a little awkward because I was writing at the time with, you know, with people in publishing companies and stuff, so I'd take a group of 13 people from out of town on mopeds down Music Row and see all of these, like, executives and stuff that I had met with that week and just, like, kind of wave at them, you know, hey, Dave! Like, man,
that's actually awesome.
One of the funniest stories, I'll tell you. I went and stopped with my, you know, co-worker. We just got done giving a tour and we went out to lunch, and I parked the scooter. And no joke, sure enough, Brett Eldridge walks up, and for some reason he thought he knew me, but we had never met before.
Yeah.
And he just walks up to me. I'm sitting on the scooter, and he, hey man, how you doing? I don't know who he thought I was. And I was like, good.
You think he
saw
the show?
Man, how you doing? And I started talking to him, and what are you doing, man? What's going on? And you know, I was in work mode and promoting the company, you know, so I had this pamphlet from the scooter tours. I pulled it out. I was like, man, you know, we just started this thing. You should try it sometime. And he goes, oh, you're working? This is what you do? I'm like, yeah, man, this is my job. And he goes, cool, man. Gave me a handshake and walked away. That's how I met Brett Eldridge.
Nice. That is hilarious.
Brett Eldridge, was the first picture I ever took with an iPhone.
What?
Like,
what does that even mean?
All right, so do you remember when, like, the first iPhone came out?
Yeah.
All right, remember, phones back in the day didn't have cameras on them.
Right.
And the first iPhone I ever had, the first picture I ever took with the first iPhone was Brett Eldridge, like, 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
It was at Steeplechase.
Wow.
Yeah, I still have it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. But it's crazy talking about, like, you know, Austin, you were saying you moved here a couple years ago, and really what this is, like, I'm not in music at all. I've lived here 14 years. I have, by the way, I have the passion for music. I just don't have the ability. So I talk instead. So,
dude, that's a gift.
Yeah.
Well,
arguably a better gift.
Well, some people. Well, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes it gets you in trouble. But you know, I've joked around. Actually, Kel and I were talking about this the other day, it's always been a joke to my friends when they go, oh my gosh, how do you know so-and-so and so-and-so? I go, well, you have to understand, like, when I met them, they weren't really who they are now. You know, they're just like me and you talking or whatever. I go, but what kills me, what the most frustrating part is, like, I know who you know now who's on the radio. I go, but you don't hear 95% of the songs and talent that I get to hear day in, day out. I go, that's the frustrating part. I go, and I was literally joking around. I go, I'm gonna literally create a podcast, and I'm going to call it Hits Collecting Dust.
That's awesome.
And it's not supposed to be negative. It was just supposed to say, hey, look, there's a million songs that are written, you know, that never get cut. And it doesn't mean that they're not good, right? And all that good stuff. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to invite friends over and friends of friends and chill, hang out. This is not really meant to be an interview. I just kind of like to get to know you and then say, hey, play me one of your favorite songs that maybe you wrote whenever and it's just been sitting on a shelf for whatever reason, you know? And you can play whatever you want, by the way. I'm just a friend and a fan. But that was kind of my whole idea of this was, like, I want to be able to, like, open the door to my world. I've been fortunate to kind of experience this. And I'd like to say, hey, if you'd like to hear this, I'll record it. How's that?
That's great.
That's killer, man.
Such a good. Anybody have, like, told the idea about this too? Which isn't a ton of people because I wanted you to have it so they could check it out before I, you know, started promoting it. But they're like, is that done? Has that been done? If not, why not?
Right.
That's my point. Exactly. This is going to be great.
Well, cool. I'm excited. I've got a group of you guys coming in. And the cool part about it is you all kind of know each other.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that's what this is meant to be. Like, let's just hang out, cut up. I got a few questions I'm going to ask. If you want to ask me, whatever. It doesn't matter. But just so people can really get to know you. But I really want to showcase you know, who you are, your talent, and then maybe one of those songs that you're like, man, this has a good story. I've always loved this song for whatever reason. It just hadn't done anything, but I'd love for you to hear it. So, do you have one of those?
Yeah, man. When I first got to town, you know, I went and met up with like a bunch of publishers and stuff like that. And I remember the first thing that EMI told me was, man, that sounds cool, but it had like tailgates in it and stuff like that. And he's like, are you from Washington? I said, yeah. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. They got tailgates in Washington. but I was just real green and, you know, type of thing where, like, I remember he just said, man, I just don't know if that's you. I want to hear what you have to say, you know. And I said, well, what about that honeybee song? And and he goes, well, I mean, I was like, man, I think that song, you know, I just don't know if it's kind of cheesy. You know, that's what I told him.
This is a Blake Shelton cut, yeah, number one song.
Yeah, and this is long before The Voice and all that stuff, you know. And right as I say that, I think it was Rhett,
yeah,
Atkins was walking by, and then the publisher just started laughing. And he goes, well, he wrote that song. Right as he walked by, and I just put my foot in my mouth. But, you know, after you see some of those guys, that is kind of who they are, and they do their thing, and you got to do your thing. So
yeah.
I kind of went home and started trying to write songs by myself, and that always comes in and out, you know, when you're here writing every day.
Yeah.
You gotta try to write songs by yourself, because that's what you used to do, but it becomes harder and harder to do when it's what you do every day.
Right.
You know? So, and this song is called Written in Stone, and I wrote it by myself at like 3 o'clock in the morning one night.
Nice.
If you had the choice to grow old or die young, would you take the last train up to heaven? If you were a king, could you wear a crown of thorns? Try to feed the poor without justifying war. Might be self-righteous, but I just can't resist believing I can change the world. For what it is, I spend my life searching for a heart of gold, so I can board that train with more than just a name written in stone. Oh, please tell me, Jesus, do we really have it in us? Can we turn this muddy water into wine? If you had the words to tame 1,000 wild horses, could you take the time to heal them if they were blind? Might be self-righteous, but I just can't resist believing I can change the world. For what it is, I spend my life searching for a heart of gold, so I can board that train with more than just a name written in stone. Would you take the last train up to heaven? It might be self-righteous, but I just can't resist believing I can change the world. For what it is, I spend my life searching for a heart of gold. It is, I spend my life searching for a heart of gold. so I can board that train with more than just a name written in stone.
Yes.
Wow.
Who needs an alarm clock? Who needs coffee when you're...
But if I could see everybody that's listening right now and say, hey, raise your hand if you would like for that song to be cut or on the radio, or you would like to have access. You know, everybody's like raising 100%. Their hand. And that's my point. I go, all right, now you're feeling my frustration.
Right.
This is the whole point. Like, what I just witnessed, I sit here and I go, are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, that was amazing. That's thanks, awesome. Dude.
Appreciate it, man. So good.
And there's so many stories like what we're talking about right
now.
Yeah,
dude.
You know?
So many.
They're everywhere. And I just want to figure out how to get them all like this. So.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.